Hour number two, next man up, 102.5 The Game, Jake Lyman. Corey Curtis with you today. Reacting to the Titans' joint practices down in Tampa. Also, we'll get into some college football this hour. A couple of updates from the Pewter Report. Same Twitter account, same X account that put out that Jeffrey Simmons was manhandled in his one-on-one. Says the Bucs defense is nowhere near the football in 7-on-7s. Titans QBs making the right reads. There have been a lot of easy ones. So first update we've had on the Titans offense today in these 7-on-7 or team drills, and it's a positive one. So good to hear. Still a long way to go.
Again, is that Calvin Ridley versus their third corner?
Right. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. Is that Xavier Restrepo against their fifth corner? I mean, you like to hear that passes are being completed.
It's
but again,
better than the alternative.
Yes. We just don't have context to it.
Yes. We are not sitting down there watching it, so we're getting the updates as they come across here, but have been, at least what we've seen early on in the 7-on-7s, has been positive for the Titans on both sides of the ball. Xavier Woods with an interception. Wanted to get to this in the last segment, but we'll talk about it now. Announced yesterday, Kevin Stefanski says that Shedeur Sanders is going to start the first preseason game. Can we just prepare for the meltdown if Shedeur Sanders goes out and throws two touchdowns in his first preseason game and Cam Ward throws
Mel?
A pick? No, from everybody, especially
Mel.
Around here. But yes, from Mel Kiper,
Mel
too.
Mel will go bonkers.
The meltdown and the media coverage of if Shedeur goes out and lights it up. I'm not saying I think this is going to happen, but if he does, and then Cam Ward has a so-so day or a below-average day, did the Titans make the right choice at number one taking Cam Ward, even though Shedeur Sanders fell to the fifth round?
Well, look, if that's the case, then there are 30 other teams in the league that should have the same meltdown.
Exactly.
Because they passed on him for four plus rounds. So, you know, again, you know, like people will bang on teams. Well, you didn't take Aaron Rodgers. Well, he didn't go to like number 20. All right. There's like 19. There's 18 other teams who also didn't take him that. There was a reason, you know, whether it's right or wrong, there's a reason Shedeur didn't go to the fifth round. Whether it's right or wrong, it's there. That doesn't mean he can't be a great NFL quarterback. There's a certain quarterback who went in the sixth round who turned out all right. All right?
Yeah.
So, you know, you wait and you see, you pick with the best data that you have, and you go forth, and the good guys do well. All right, and the bad guys get fired.
It's very true, and one preseason game isn't going to determine
it.
But just because of the culture and everything around Shedeur Sanders, if he has a good game, I just know there are going to be people texting into the show on Monday saying, Titans should have taken Shedeur.
Yeah.
And actually, I had somebody call in,
the fourth round
last week that they should have taken him. I was like, you know, he went in the fifth round, right?
Yeah.
And again, I'm not a scout. Like, I never played college football or anything like that. But when the Titans got the number one pick, I went and watched a couple of games of Shedeur Sanders. I went and watched a couple of games of Cam Ward. It was pretty easy to tell which one was worthy of the number one pick.
And I'm not sitting here saying that Shedeur Sanders wasn't worthy of drafting in the NFL. I mean, he's
a draft pick for sure.
He was a five-star quarterback coming out. He played a ton of college football, has made plays, has elevated some programs. So sure. But you watch Cam Ward and he's electric.
Yeah.
I mean, he's electric. And also, by the way, every coach he has had along the way says the same thing about him, culture changer.
Yep.
And what do the Titans need?
A culture changer.
They need a culture changer. Absolutely.
They are in bad shape in terms of that. They need Cam Ward to come in. And it seems like, based on what we've heard from his teammates, I mean, we talked with Alec Iamanner yesterday, mm-hmm. and just raves about Cam Ward and that he's getting everybody together to watch film and make sure they're getting better. So, you know, again, it's really early and we don't know, but Cam Ward, I point people to the Pop-Tarts Bowl film if you want to really see how good Cam Ward was in college. Like, I know he got a lot of flack for sitting out the second half of that game, but if you go watch the first half, it is a laser show.
Yeah.
It, like, he is just tossing it all around
doing
the yard.
Doing whatever he wants.
Right. And Iowa State's got a pretty decent defense and they lost that game. But I think that's where I always point people.
I like the story about him when they took on Cal in Berkeley, and they were down 21 points.
Yeah.
And Coach Cristobal is freaking out. And he's like, what are you freaking out for? We got this. And they got this.
That was the week after they survived against Virginia Tech, too. And I remember watching that game as someone who went to Virginia Tech, and I didn't know a ton about Cam Ward. I actually don't think I had even watched a whole lot of him at that point. And I did leave that game, even though took the officials helping him out a little bit there at the end. I left that game saying, man, Cam Ward is better than I thought he was.
Yeah, sure.
So I think it was easy to tell based off the film that, like, Cam Ward, in terms of arm talent and just, I mean, what he does on the football field, he's got a higher ceiling than Shador Sanders does.
He makes plays.
Right.
I mean, he just does. I mean, Shador plays from the pocket, and he will take hits, and he can deliver the football. But Cam Ward makes plays.
Yes.
I mean, he that ball he threw against Florida.
Right.
In the back left corner.
And he made almost the exact same throw against Louisville later in the season, too.
Wow.
It's one of those where you're like, there are only a few guys who can make that type of throw. Obviously, that's not what a good quarterback needs to do. Like, you don't have to make those plays to be a good quarterback.
But in that moment, in that moment when you need a play to know he can give it to you. I mean, we all watch football every weekend, Saturday right. and Sunday. And how many times you're watching your team play and you're just like, gosh, we need a play. We need a play. You know, we need something that gets this thing turned around. He's that guy. He's going to have to do it in the NFL now. But he is, whether it be at Incarnate Word or Washington State or Miami, he has been that guy.
He has been, and you can see the talent. It's just about can he be consistent with it. And again, we're monitoring for reports down in Tampa. After a good day yesterday for Cam Ward in the offense, so far it seems like the reports out of Tampa are good so far for the Titans as well. A couple other news and notes on the Titans here. Do you know anything about Jarvis Brownlee's stolen helmet, Corey?
I just saw something about it the other day.
Some fan walked off with his helmet.
Why was that fan in position to get his
that's
helmet?
That's what I... Well, I
there's
guess
a rope that they have to stay behind.
I don't know if it was a fan, too. Like, I'm very confused by this whole thing. But, yeah, Jarvis Brownlee said that he couldn't find his helmet at the end of practice yesterday.
You know, I guess you could go over there and sign autographs, and you can set it down.
Maybe that's what it was.
But also, those fans all have to leave on a bus because you can't park there. They all get bussed in.
I didn't know that.
So you have a hard time walking out with that thing. All right, those things are big and they're heavy.
Maybe it was a teammate just playing a prank or something, but the tweet's still up at this point, so you would think he would have taken it down if it was a misunderstanding. So I thought that was funny yesterday. TD was like, I was wondering why Jarvis Brownlee Jr. just walked into the locker room with his shoulder pads and no helmet, but I would guess he's got a new one or maybe found the old one for practice down in Tampa today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Eli from Smyrna on our text line asks, is Snead practicing yet? He is not. We did address that at the very beginning of the show. Brian Callahan said maybe next week for L'Jarius Snead and Brian Callahan.
And maybe I'll win the lottery next week.
It's probably about the same odds. I would guess L'Jarius Snead probably practices less than three times before week one. And he might be on the field for week one, but I don't think he's going to practice very much leading up to the season.
Yeah. I mean, you know, look, I've seen him out there. See, he's there. And, you know, we can't say what we see him doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's out there. So he's trying. I mean, there's no question that he's trying. But, I mean, we're over a year into this thing.
Yeah. You got to start to see something at some point.
Well, I mean, again, in sports and in life, so go broader, you have to surround yourself with people that you can count on, okay? And I'm not saying this makes him a bad person, but can you count on him to start a game, finish a game, be 100% in that game, or enough of a percent to be effective in that game?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, it's hard to have that belief. Because it's not just the results, but it's the words that have gone along with it. You know, I'm closer than close. I'm healthier than I've ever been. Where are you?
Right. We're almost 3 weeks into training camp now, and we have not seen L'Jarius Sneed participate in a practice. I don't think you can rely on him to be anything. Like, you hope, you really hope that he is going to be a factor for this team in any fashion this year, but you can't really count on it at all. Jeff on our text line says, what disgusts me with the Titans are the penalties. When a bad team is trying to improve and committing few penalties, I can accept that. However, when the team is drawing stupid penalty after stupid penalty, that shows a lack of discipline.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Yep.
But as you were saying, the Titans, I think, have made that a big focus this
huge
year
focus.
Is to try and cut out the stupid mistakes.
Well, especially the pre-snap penalties. You know, you're going to have some penalties that come up during the game. But false start, illegal formation, delay of game, you can't have those.
Right.
Lining up in the neutral zone. Oh, my gosh. That one kills me. Was that 3 inches really worth it? I mean, and also, just look at the ref. Am I okay? That's all you got to
right.
do.
Just a little thumbs up is all you need.
Yeah. So, like I said, penalties. I mean, Jarvis Brownlee's going to get penalties. The way he plays, he's going to get penalties. But they're combative penalties, which you can accept. And so penalties before the whistle, penalties after the whistle, those have all got to go. And once you start with that, then you can start refining the other stuff.
Yes. I think it shows an undisciplined team when you're getting too many false starts, too many offsides.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I guess a legal man downfield can also be in the like the frame of a play, like somebody
yeah,
just loses track of where
really
they are.
That's tough these days now with the RPOs.
Right, but it is just coaching to try and get those stupid mistakes out of
yep.
there, and I think the Titans at least have tried to commit to that.
And players have to be locked in.
Right.
I mean, that's a level of concentration. All right. And that's, you know, that's why they're holding, you know, the whole team responsible for this stuff is they want players to be accountable for their mistakes. Now, if there was enough leadership on the team built in, then that accountability would already be there. But again, this team is still trying to overcome the loss of Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard, Ben Jones. I mean, those were the leaders of this football team. They need new leaders to emerge.
Yeah, they lost almost all of their leaders in about a 2 year span. Like
yep.
you can argue the personality of Taylor Lewan, but he was a leader on that team in the locker room, and he's gone.
It was Ben Jones' line,
right? Ryan Tannehill gone. Even though he maybe wasn't the vocal guy, who's you know Drew Brees in the middle of the huddle.
Delanie Walker.
You lost a lot of leadership. Jarrell Casey over the last 5 years or
yep.
so, and it's been a struggle to try and find guys like that that can take those places. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can text or call our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser. Souls for the 615 to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality. We'll continue to track what's going on in the joint practice between Tampa and the Titans, but do want to check in on Vanderbilt after the Any Given Saturday series came out on Netflix. Lots to get to with Diego Pavia and Clark Lee. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up, 1025 The Game. Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up, 1025 The Game. I'm going to talk a little Vandy here in a second, but we do have Nick Suss, notes from the first full team period down in the joint practice between the Titans and Bucks. Cam Ward with a beautiful seam pass to Gunnar Helm, who stretched to make a fingertips catch. James Prochet caught a long touchdown from Brandon Allen. Daryl Baker recovered a fumble. Brownlee Evans as physical as expected. So positive updates there. Finding Helm up the seam, that's good to see. And
he keeps making plays.
Right. And I think there's going to be a lot of snaps to be had for Gunnar Helm. I don't think anyone's married to Chig Okonkwo at tight end. I mean,
well, they're different. I mean, Chig is
right.
Chig is way more explosive and way more capable of making plays with the ball in his hands. But what we've seen from Gunnar Helm is, a really good catch radius that he's able to utilize. Gunnar's had one good year in college, so I wasn't going to jump on the bandwagon that everybody else was jumping on. I was like, I need to see it. I've seen him make plays. I've seen him use that body to make catches. I would certainly keep him over Josh Wiley at this point. Again, he and Chig are so different that
you can play them both.
Yes, and we'll see how that point pans out. And you know what Chig needs is consistency. That's what we need to see from him to be the same guy every week. And then I'm still high on David Martin Robinson. Certainly looks the part, and I've seen some stuff in practice to like. He's just got to be more involved.
Brian Callahan said that the starters are going to play a series or two, likely, this weekend. So, obviously, all eyes on Cam Ward when he's in there, but it'll be fun to see some of the young pass catchers out there once the second team comes in. You'll see Iman, or you'll see DK, you'll see Helm.
The offensive line will certainly be out there as long as Cam Ward is out there.
How horrible would that be to just throw the backups out there and be like, hey, Cam, good luck?
No, that's not going to happen. But again, this offensive line needs to play.
Yes, so they need to get reps together. Yep. And again, Lloyd Cushenberry, the hope is that he is back on the field next week for practice, but obviously coming back from Achilles, they're not going to rush him back.
Yeah, especially against another team. That's tough.
Yes. So the hope is he is back soon. Quickly, Netflix releases their Any Given Saturday series this week, and Diego Pavia and the climb to being just a rock star has been so fun to watch. I mean, I heard Big Joe talking about this yesterday of when's the last time Vandy had a guy like that?
James Franklin.
Right, but a player, I don't know if you could say ever. Pavia in this series, I get it. He's putting bulletin board material up for Tennessee left and right, but he doesn't care. He will double down. I mean, he said on Bussin' with the Boys how Vanderbilt's going to be the power of college football in Tennessee after this year. And I can't repeat what he said in the Netflix show about Tennessee, but it was not very nice. I believe the clean part of the quote was, we will beat Tennessee on any given Saturday.
Yeah.
So Diego Pavia, I get it. He's confident, and he backed it up last year. But, man, with everything he's saying this year, he's got to come out and have another great season.
Well, he does. This is probably his last chance to make money playing football.
Yep.
And so, he needs to live up to it. You know, he needs to see what opportunities he can create for himself after this year. But, look, they knocked off Alabama last year, all right? They're going to be circled on everybody. Pavia is going to be circled over. But no matter what he says on this Netflix show, everybody knows who he is.
Right.
All right. And by the way, it's totally organic. It's absolutely who he is. It's what he believes 100%. And that overpowering confidence and belief permeates the rest of the team.
Yep.
He elevates the entire team. You cannot diminish his value to this program. However much he's getting in NIL, he is worth double that.
100%. And you're right. It's none of his personality is manufactured.
No.
I got to meet him down at SEC kickoff last month, and it's like everything that you see on that Netflix documentary of him doing the little sit-downs and the cutaways and all that, that is Diego Pavia, 100%. And I was talking to Kevin Ingram on the show yesterday about how important it is that he was able to get this extra year of eligibility. Because 1 year could be classified as lightning in a bottle for Vandy. It's like, oh, they got this quarterback.
How do they replace it?
That is the big question.
How do you replace it?
Eventually, you have to find somebody who can take that role. And it's not just the attitude. It's they run this offense, and he knows how to make every right decision. It's like he turned the ball over. He had four picks last year.
Yeah, 20 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Right.
He rushed for 800 yards last year, and a lot of it on a hurt leg.
Yes.
He was their leading rusher. He was their leading passer. He was their playmaker, which is amazing. So I had heard he was going to start before the season last year. Like, he's the guy. And I go out to practice before the season starts, and I'm just like, I'm not seeing it. He looks like a fire hydrant. I mean, I'm not seeing it.
They said he's 5'10".
Maybe, yeah.
If that.
Yeah. And then, but some guys, when the lights come on, are just different people.
Yep.
And he is that. When the competition is there, when the bullets are flying, He is Armageddon, and it is amazing to watch.
That Alabama game last year, I was up in the booth. I was helping out with the Vandy radio broadcast, and when Alabama scored to make it a 5-point game at the end, and they kick it back, I think just, you know, knowing Vanderbilt football in the past, they go three and out here. Milrow takes him down the field, and Alabama escapes.
Yep.
And Diego Pavia, just ice in his veins, Junior not shaken. Cheryl. Right. Made the plays and got it to a place where he can kneel it down and win the game. that didn't happen before. Week one against Virginia Tech, they were controlling that game. Virginia Tech hits a long touchdown to take the lead in the fourth quarter. And a lot of times in the past, Vandy would have folded, and they didn't. And Diego coming back for another year, it's another year to instill that culture and get it to seep through the program. But you're right. It's like next year, they're not going to have Diego Pavia.
Well, you're going to need a quarterback, number one. But number two, how do you replace the energy and the positive and vibes and confidence that he has? Let me ask you this question about him.
Yeah. Okay.
Carson Beck, 6'4", 6'5". I mean, looks the part, right?
Yeah.
How much is he making at Miami?
$4 million.
$4 million. If you could have either one of those guys, who would you want?
Diego Pavia.
It wouldn't even be – it's not even a conversation.
Yep.
It's not even a question.
It's like, and it's funny because if you ask an NFL team that, like, Carson Beck's going to get drafted next year.
Yeah.
Just because of the profile of – he is kind of your central casting for a quarterback, and teams will think they can fix that. Diego Pavia doesn't fit the mold of your typical NFL quarterback.
No.
But if you ask me tomorrow, Vanderbilt, Miami, I guess, you know, teams are different. But it's like, what quarterback do you want starting that game?
Yeah.
The answer is Diego Pavia.
Absolutely.
And it's easy.
What about the Vols this year with Pavia?
Right. How much better does Tennessee feel about this season if they had Diego Pavia?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they can hate him all they want. I mean, it's like having Rodman.
They think they're national championship contenders.
Sure.
And it is funny seeing the Vols fans on X. I'm not trying to go after the Vols fans, but it's like they're so, man, Diego Pavia, Vanderbilt has one season, and they're talking like
this.
Well, I mean,
they're right.
But
they're
it's like,
right. We went to the playoffs last year.
Right. But Vandy is doing what most SEC teams do now. And I know that that's not what SEC fan bases are accustomed to with Vanderbilt, but Vandy had a year that allowed them to – You can talk to the big boys a little bit.
But it's funny because, like, for years, you know, teams like Vanderbilt would always say, "Oh, we think we can play with anybody in the country." And you're like, "Yeah, whatever." Yeah. Well, this year, I think they really believe it.
Yeah.
And it's all because of number two. It's all because of him.
And they got a tough draw with their schedule, where you've got to go on the road two of your first 3 weeks to Virginia Tech and South Carolina.
Yeah, the Virginia Tech game's big.
You have to win that game.
Yeah, there's three swing games for me this year: Virginia Tech, Kentucky, Auburn.
Yep.
They need to win those three.
You win
games.
Those three, and you just beat the other non-conference teams.
Yeah.
The
Utah State,
Charleston Southern, Utah State, Georgia State.
Yep.
You're bowl eligible.
Yep.
You win those six games, and you are bowl eligible.
And then you roll the dice with South Carolina
and
Missouri. Yeah.
And Tennessee would probably...
We'll see what Tennessee is.
It's in Neyland, which is, again, that's never an easy place to go win.
But we don't know what they have at quarterback, and that could change everything. Now, I think they're going to be pretty salty defensively, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But if they can't move the football because they don't have the guy pulling the trigger, and by the way, they don't have Kelvin Sampson in the backfield this year either.
Right.
You know, we'll see. They've got a lot to prove. I mean, they're ranked 18th in the country for a reason. They've got a good head coach. But we'll see what they are. I think there's a lot of questions about what they are.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you got thoughts on Vanderbilt after the Any Given Saturday documentary was released on Netflix, lots to get to there. And I did want to talk a little bit about Barton Simmons and Clark Lee, because just the way they talk about that program, it's just a refreshing take on Vanderbilt football. We'll get to that next. We'll also continue to update you on what's going on down in Tampa, Titans and Bucks in their joint practice down there ahead of preseason game number one on Saturday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinitix Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up, 102.5 The Game. We were talking Vandy, but have to interrupt here because there is a situation down at the joint practices.
Couple of them.
Paul Kaharsky tweeting out about 10, 15 minutes ago. Cody Barton and then Jeffrey Simmons, central to a skirmish, secondarily, both sidelines clear, didn't see primary Bucks involved, and my favorite part, Cam Ward fired a ball into it from about 20 yards away.
Okay, the first two parts of that aren't surprising. With Cody Barton, he's pretty intense.
I think those would be top five guys you'd expect.
Yeah, but hearing Cam Ward firing a football in there, that's not what you expect. And by the way, it's not what I would advocate.
I agree. That's not what you want to see. I just see the first response under Paul's tweet is Uncle Rico chucking a football.
Knocking Napoleon off his bike.
Yes. So Cam Ward also reportedly threw his first pick. Hassan Reddick got
Paul
him.
Karski reported that, yeah.
So
he's a bad throw to Chigakonkwo. Their combination needs some work.
Yeah. You haven't heard a lot of good from Chigakonkwo, which, again,
there have been a lot of balls behind him.
Right.
I just think their timing needs some work for whatever reason.
Also, from the Pewter Report, wild scene at Bucks Titans joint practice as Jarvis Brownlee Jr. walked over to the Bucks fans in the stands who were taunting him had to be restrained.
Okay, that is definitely not what you want.
The Titans defense. Maybe there was all the conversation about a lack of energy at Titans practice. It seems like that's gone away, but maybe swung too far in the opposite direction.
All right, Nick Suss. This is his assessment. Some people got angry. Some other people got angry, and yet more people got angry. And then there was a scrum, and then there wasn't a scrum.
Perfectly put.
What's concerning about the Brownlee thing, though, is if you're worried about the fans, you're not worried about football.
Right.
Okay? You are distracted, and you're not concentrating on what's important. That's not being competitive, all right? You can handle competitive. Okay, well, he's in the heat of the moment. He's competitive. You're listening to fans, and now you're engaging fans. I remember a football team last year that gave away a game late because one of the players was taunting the fans instead of being in position to knock the ball down, all right? Jarvis is a good football player. He's got to be better than that, though.
Yeah. Brownlee, you want the energy. You want the juice that he brings. And watching him last year, it's like we talked about, he's going to get some penalties just because of his physicality. But that's different than just not blocking out the noise. You got to block out the noise. Nick Suss also adding to the Brownlee situation, maybe one of the fans stole his helmet.
I used to cover Lou Holtz for a long time at South Carolina, and Lou had all these little acronyms and everything, but one of them was always win. What's important now?
Yep.
All right? I would give that to Jarvis Brownlee and say, what's important right now? Is it engaging the fans, or is it lining up for the next play against Mike Evans?
Yeah, I mean, the Titans seem to love their acronyms this year. Is it MEES, mental errors, was that one?
Oh, and I don't know, SINS.
SINS.
SINS is the big
SINS,
one.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted.
Yeah. So maybe they will take SINS and wins. Maybe that's how Brian Callahan goes. So a brawl is the way Jim Wyatt described it, and if Jim Wyatt's describing it as a brawl, I think that's pretty safe to
in
assume.
A joint practice, that is not surprising.
And Brian Callahan said yesterday that they – you know, he had instructed his team that there was not going to be any fighting. They wanted energy, and it seems like things have boiled over down there. We'll continue to give you updates from joint practice, and I believe it should be wrapping up probably in the next 30 minutes, so we should get the full lay of the land when it comes to how the Titans did against the Bucks today. Quickly back to Vanderbilt. Clark Lee, in that documentary, I think that's really important to show him and show this Vanderbilt program. Like they showed the relationship between him and Barton Simmons, who grew up together, now running this program.
Yeah, true
and
partnership.
I don't know if I'm blanking on the exact word Clark Lee used when describing how he views Vanderbilt football. I might have been delusional. That's what I wrote down. But he said, he's like, you kind of have to have this delusional confidence that you can be this. He said, I came here to be the savior of this program.
Yeah.
And that's what Vanderbilt's needed, is a guy who wasn't going to use this job as a stepping stone, but a guy who truly believed that he can bring Vanderbilt football back to prominence.
Well, I mean, look at some of the programs over the years, you know, like Boise State. I mean, anybody think going to Boise State, you were going to be competing, you know, to be in the playoffs, competing to go to New Year's Day bowl games.
Yeah.
It takes a delusional guy to say, I'm going to bring that to the Boise State Broncos. I never even heard of the Boise State Broncos for a long time. And, you know, we can run down five or six other schools. Shoot, Brett Bielema is at Illinois right now. They're ranked number 12 in the country.
Crazy.
Okay, I am from Illinois. I'm from the Chicago area. They have been terrible way more than they have been good, okay? And you know, frankly, because it's a basketball school and it just hasn't been as important. They just have not sunk the finances into it. But Brett Bielema does not care, he does not care about what expectations are.
Yep.
He wants to play everyone and he wants to beat everyone. It didn't work out for him at Arkansas. It did work out for him at Wisconsin. And right now, he is turning in one of the great coaching jobs in the country at Illinois. And it's that unwavering, it's like Diego Pavia, unwavering belief and confidence that you are the man for the job, and no matter what it takes, you will get your team there.
And to tie it to the Titans, it's the conversation we had about Cam Ward when he said his confidence is 10 out of 10
mm-hmm.
before he had even started training camp. That's the confidence you have to have if you're going to be elite
sure.
in this field.
And that doesn't mean you don't respect the job or
right.
respect the opposition. It just means I believe in me. And if you don't, nobody else is going to.
Exactly. I mean, why did Marcus Mariota, I think, start to fail? Is because I think he lost belief
sure.
in himself,
yeah.
especially towards the end. I mean, that Ravens game where he took 9 sacks,
ugh.
It was just he didn't believe in himself not to throw a pick every time he let go of the ball, so he just took the sack.
Well, he shouldn't have certainly believed in his teammates on that day.
That is true. They didn't help him out either. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Wes in Clarksville says, just seen video of Big Jeff getting tossed to the ground. We addressed this earlier.
They were 5 yards deep in the
right.
backfield.
He pushed Cody Mock basically into Baker Mayfield's lap if he had been there
yep.
and then got hip tossed past him. Obviously, you don't want to get hip tossed.
And by the
like,
way, that's a penalty.
Yes.
That's a hold. All right. So there's two things there. Mock got bullied, and then he held.
Yeah, and that video came from, and I do appreciate the Pewter Report on X, who is covering the Bucks, but that is from a Bucks outlet who is probably going to, they're going to show the bright side for the Buccaneers
yeah.
instead.
And like, I'm not just trying to give sunshine and rainbows on this, but, I always try to be realistic about it. Realistically, 5 yards deep, that's a loss.
Right, right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to your phones coming up next. Also, speaking of brawls, there was one yesterday that involved a former Titans head coach.
Oh.
We will talk about that coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up, 1025 The Game.
Your coach is in the pile. Your coach gets a cut on his right.
Yeah.
What's that say about him?
No, I think, like I said, that's what we're trying to build, I think. And it starts with the coach, starts with the head coach, the intensity, bringing it every day, taking no crap, we're out there on the field. But also it comes at a time where with our guys offensively, and getting over there and getting some tussles and kind of having some penalties and extra after the whistle can get us in trouble. But for mentality, I like it. I think that's what you want. I mean, I almost got in there, but I think maybe another day, maybe. So we'll see.
That was Patriots quarterback Drake May talking about the scrum in the Patriots, and I'm blanking on who they were practicing with. Was it the Commanders? Yes, Patriots Commanders joined practice yesterday where Mike Vrabel got all bloodied up as he jumped in to try and break up the fight. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Apparently there was a brawl down at Titans joint practice with the Bucks
couple
today.
Of them.
Yeah, it's gotten a little bit chippy down there, to say the least. But yesterday, the big news coming out of that joint practice with the Patriots and Commanders, that true football guy, the ultimate football guy, Mike
yep.
Vrabel, jumped into a scrum and got all bloodied up trying to break it up. And I knew as soon as that came out that was going to lead every program the rest
yeah.
of the
He's
day.
He's a hero.
ESPN tweeted it out of, oh, look at Mike Vrabel, not afraid to get in there. Barstool was
tweeting 265 pounds.
Right.
I hope he's not.
This dude played, 10, 15 years in the NFL?
Yeah.
Of course he's not afraid to get in there, but it is just funny. You knew that was going to happen at some point because we were talking during the break of, people outside of Nashville don't understand the whole Mike Vrabel experience. It was just like, oh, he went from coach of the year to fired in 2 years. He's got to still be good. It's like he's being viewed as the chosen one, the successor to Bill Belichick. And of course, the first day of joint practices, he gets back in the news by being the ultimate football guy.
Yeah, you know, he says don't do stupid stuff that hurts the team, and fighting is part of that. And so he has no room for it. So like when he sees his, I mean, I'm sure he's in there trying to get his guys out of it. Because, you know, look, if Drake May's in there, you can't get him hurt.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, Drake May said, I thought about getting in there. I'm like, you should not be thinking about getting in there.
Didn't it involve Travion Henderson?
Yes. Yeah.
You don't want him hurt?
No.
That dude is talented.
He is.
I mean, and so, and again, you want your guys to focus on practice, on the things that are important. And so he is a very hands-on coach. I mean, we always saw it when guys were coming back from injury. Vrabel was the guy who'd have the pads, and he worked. I mean, that's part of who he is.
Right.
He was a very, very good positional coach. He was not a great coordinator, and he was a very good head coach.
Yep.
Look, coaching is something Mike Vrabel can do. He can lead a room, and he can teach, and he knows the rules, and he's got everybody prepared. For me, and I could be dead wrong about this, the problem is when he wants to be more than that.
Yeah.
Which he desperately wants to be. And again, who are his examples? Belichick and Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are his examples.
Right.
So, and well, didn't he play for Andy Reid in Kansas City at the very end?
Maybe. He played for Cowher with the Steelers.
Yeah. But in the last 2 years were in Kansas City. But so, those are the guys he kind of learned from. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, the head coaches, most of them want to pick the groceries. And he feels like he's entitled to that. And the Patriots said, yes, you are. And so we'll find out if he can do it there. And maybe he learned some things, like not to sign guys who don't like football. You know, that would be a start. That would be a start. You got to know a guy's heart along with his ability. But, you know, again, he can lead a room without question. And he knows the rules, and he has his team. I mean, we always call them Vrabel specials. Titans are a 10-point favorite, and they win.
The Chiefs game in 2022, when Malik Willis is starting Sunday night football against the Kansas City Chiefs, and they should have won that game.
Should have won, yeah.
If the officials don't call holding on, was it Trey Avery? They called holding on because Travis Kelce ripped his helmet off?
Yeah, there was also a play on the sideline, one of their defensive ends, lost containment. I'm forgetting who it was.
I know. Yeah,
it was 99. It was Weaver.
Yeah, Rashad Weaver.
He lost containment on the quarterback, and I was like, oh.
Yeah, but no, that it is. It was the variable special of those were the games that you could never count the Titans out in. But then there were games like the Texans game in 2021. Where the Texans were the worst team in football, and they came in here with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback and won.
Yeah, it's just a stinker. So, but he's got a lot of that, like we talk about, Diego Pavia thing where, you know, the team thinks, you know, with Vrabel, we got a shot. Even while the Titans were terrible the last couple of years, you still felt like they had a chance every game because we'd seen it so many times where they were an underdog, but then they just got so bad it didn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, 6-18 in the final 24 games.
And on your 94th player of the season.
Yes, every year.
Yes, which again, is a concern. I mean,
right.
Like, how did that happen? Because we're already seeing this camp. I don't feel like there's as many injuries this year.
Yeah, I mean, Sweat has been kind of in and out, but like
abdominal strain. And
right.
I think Winston might have a mild hamstring.
But like, every year it felt like half the team had hamstring injuries or calf injuries.
It was everything. It was just an epic disaster. Guys just fell apart. It's like they came in here and just got hit by a death ray.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel, there's a lot of good with Mike Vrabel.
Absolutely.
For sure. And there's a reason he got another chance as a head coach.
Absolutely.
Because there were games that they should not have won that he willed them to win. And I don't blame the Patriots fans and the national media for getting all excited about all.
He's a tie to when things were great.
Right. It's my coach jumps in there and he's willing to get involved with the team and break up these brawls. But it's like, all of that's great for the first couple of years. But it's like, if he doesn't sustain it and doesn't win,
then it's stick.
Right. He's got to be Belichick. And that's a very high bar.
Look, if Drake May is good. All right, and it looks like Drake May is going to be good.
I really like Drake May.
Then he's going to probably win a lot of games.
Yep.
All right. Now he's got to surround Drake May with the right people, but he's in a very good – I mean, there's a reason he went back there. If they didn't have Drake May, I don't know if he goes back for that job. He's been in that position.
Yeah. I mean, he – I think when he got hired, that was after –
After he was inducted into the Ring of Honor, because isn't that what it feels like?
Yeah, it does. When he came to the Titans, that was after Marcus's third year, right after the Chiefs playoff win, obviously.
Yes, but after they won the playoffs and fired their coach.
But that was also the year, I think Mariota, was that the year he had more touchdowns or more interceptions than touchdowns? It was like 13 and 15 or something like that.
I don't remember.
I can't remember exactly, but it wasn't like coming in with the new shiny toy like he is now. Like Marcus. Mm-hmm. I think there was some hope that he could get back to what he was before he broke his leg. But, like, with Drake May, they believe that he is going to be the future and can get them back to being a Super Bowl contender.
Shoot, he took a quarterback who threw a touchdown pass to himself in a playoff game at Arrowhead.
He did. He did. Drake May, I think he's going to be good. And I think they've done a good job this offseason of bringing a lot of good players. I mean, you mentioned Travion Henderson involved in that brawl.
They need a lot of good players because last year their roster was as bad as it comes.
Even though it was in overtime, losing to this Titans team with that was a Rudolph game, right? Losing to this Titans team is not an easy thing to do, and they did it.
I think that was a Levis game.
It was either the last game before Levis came back or it was the first game Levis came back.
It was all terrible.
Right. None of it was good. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robert says he's the only coach to out Belichick. LOL, I definitely miss Vrabel and J-Rob for that matter. And it's fair because Vrabel and J-Rob, that partnership is the best Titans football that this city has seen since, I mean, you had the season in 08 where you have the one seed.
Well, I mean, but Robinson had the 16 and 19 drafts, and those two drafts built the Titans for that six-year run.
Yep.
I mean, it really did. But you could tell at the end there, they've never spoken on it, but their relationship was different.
Yeah.
No question about it. They'd come into a room from opposite sides. They'd sit down next to each other, do the press conference, never look at each other, and then it was over. They'd walk away other direction.
Yep.
Now, they could tell me there was nothing to that. Baloney. I remember watching them on Broadway dancing together when the team was unveiling their new uniforms.
Yeah. And Vrabel went on Bussin' with the Boys earlier this week and kind of – brushed off the A.J. Brown question again. Like, oh, well, his contract was never going to get worked out. But there's more to that, and I think eventually it will come out, but it might still be a little bit too early. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will continue to update you on Titans joint practice. Believe they're about to wrap up down there in Tampa. Got a couple of updates on Cam Ward. We will get to those next, and also your phones. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Connor Newt, next man up here on 102.5 The Game.